Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Members of the House prosecution team, we've just witnessed something that has occurred only now 22 times in American history. On 21 prior occasions, the House of Representatives has passed articles of impeachment. In 17 out of those 21 cases, the result has been the culmination of a trial in the Senate, resulting in a finding of guilty or not guilty, of conviction or of acquittal. It's not only expected but required under the Constitution that we should do this under Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 of the Constitution. The Senate shall have power to try all impeachments. That means all impeachments. The only four exceptions out of those 21 that I reference are instances in which the case became moot or we lacked jurisdiction in the first instance. We don't lack jurisdiction in this instance. In fact, we have it. Secretary Mayorkas is still in office. Unlike those four, he was neither a member of the U.S. Senate and therefore not subject technically to the impeachment authority, but rather to expulsion, nor is he deceased, nor is he left office. So we retain subject matter jurisdiction over this. In that circumstance, we're expected and, in fact, required to conduct a trial.
That's Senator Mike Lee laying it down like it's his job. There's a reason they call him based. This is a go blank yourself Chuck Schumer moment. You understand that, right? Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, leader of the Democrats, didn't want to have to bring this forward. Tried to figure out every which way. Why in the world are we having an impeachment of Mayorkas? Oh, it's all political. It's nothing but political. Yeah. Yeah, impeachments are political. Impeachments are just that. Now, never mind that Mayorkas isn't doing his job. Never mind that the border is more unsecure than ever. You want my proof? Sure. I'll bring the receipts. Absolutely. This was a post by Brett Baer over at Fox News that Customs and Border Patrol just released data. In the first 6 months of fiscal year 2024, you got to understand the fiscal year for the federal government starts in October. So October 1, that's when their year starts. Border Patrol, in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, has apprehended 24,296 Chinese nationals crossing illegally between ports of entry. The vast majority of them, 85%, were single adults. That means approximately 21,000. Now, I reached out immediately to Griff Jenkins and Bill Malugin on this. Me, I'm Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. Find everything I do over at TonyKatz.com. I reached out to them, and I said, I'm sorry, is that number right? 24,000, and Bill Malugin got back to me. And he said, that's just the people who crossed illegally. That has nothing to do with the numbers of people who have come through the lawful ports of entry. Oh, damn. You see, I don't let single able-bodied Chinese nationals into the country. I just don't do it. I don't do it. You can visit, like if you're doing a vacation, but no. We're just not going to have this. It's the Chinese Communist Party. There is no trusting it. That's all there is. End of list. 85% of those crossing the border illegally are single males. Instant deportation. Are we out of our heads? Well, Tony, your problem is you're a xenophobe. No, my problem is people who say that are schmucks. Do you see the difference? This is why we're taking a look at Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary. And this is why the impeachment is now took place in the House and is now here in the Senate where the trial will take place. We can be clear of only one thing. Mayorkas will not be removed from office. Now, if you say to me, you can impeach a cabinet member, yes. You impeach a cabinet member. You can impeach a Supreme Court justice. Oh, and we've got a breakdown of how things went for the federal government and going after January 6th violators. What do we call them? Suspects. Screwed. I think we call those people mostly screwed. Hey, some of them, you broke in, you're going to have to deal with the consequences. Yes, you did. But some of the charges coming at them is total madness. And so I think the federal government is about to take it on the chin with how some of the legislation they're trying to use against those involved in January 6th. I will bring that story. William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, legalinstruction.com. He joins me to break that down. But you can impeach cabinet members. It happens rarely. But this is not going to lead to a removal. There is sadly no way that Senate Democrats will say out loud, yeah, not doing his job. There's a dereliction of duty here. The Democratic argument has been that this is all political posturing because they want to go after Joe Biden. And I say to that, guilty. Of course it is. Mayorkas is executing the policy of the president, of the administration. But I would think it's weird if someone says, well, therefore you can't hold him responsible. You really want to go after Biden. Engaging in these policies is to do damage to the United States and to not enforce the laws already on the books. It is more than proper just based on that predicate to go after Mayorkas in that case. But if you argue that this is because they want to go after Biden, absolutely true. 100% true. And we should ask ourselves whether or not we're going to ever get to the place where Biden is impeached. You talk about the dealings with China through Hunter and these series of things. As I see it, and as we've discussed it before, my argument has been from the very beginning, go about the investigation. Let America know what took place and then make a call. The first two parts mattered because if you decide to make a call not to impeach, which could very well be the right call, you've at least shared with America what it is that you have found. And it is clear to the vast majority of thinking Americans that they're not 100% sure if Joe Biden should go to jail, but they know that Hunter Biden is really shady and Joe Biden was the big guy. The big guy, the 10%, all that jazz, that's Joe. Hunter made the deals, sold on the family name. This is what took place, period. There is not an ounce of debate on that subject. We know who Joe is. We know who Hunter is. We're aware. Do they have enough to bring an impeachment? Let's say if I even argued yes, because I actually would make the argument that they're close. I don't think they're 100% there yet because I don't think they have enough. God, it's going to sound so weird when I say this, but follow me, because we're not talking about a court of law. We're talking about a court of public opinion. You have guns and you have smoke, but you don't have the very clear elucidating smoking gun. Is that producer Carl? Carl's in today. That's an acceptable way to say that, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Because you follow this as much as I do. It's not that we don't have data. It's not that we don't have issues. It's just you don't have like the 10-word answer that you could give somebody, the elevator pitch of here's what he did, here's the video, or here it is so easy. It's a little more convoluted than that. That's the issue. And for that reason, no, don't do it. But even if you had it, I don't know if at this stage of the game I would do it. I would have argued 6 months ago being in favor of it. If I take a look at the economy, and I'll break it down. Things are not falling well in line for Joe Biden. If I were to take a look at, as I discussed, the southern border, if I were to take a look at of course, the world stage and the fact that we are a nation at war, or at least the world is at war around us. None of this looks good. None of this works out well for Joe Biden. Now, the fact that I don't think he's going to be the nominee, notwithstanding, if for some reason he is, you could argue he is the most beatable, and you don't give people a reason to engage him as a sympathetic character. Because while Robert Hur, H-U-R, the special counsel, said that he's a nice old man with a poor memory, you know, thinking that he'd be a sympathetic character, I put forth to you that Joe Biden is not a sympathetic character in the eyes of the American people. He's just an old man in the eyes of the American people who has to go. You can't have him be in charge. You just can't have these things. It doesn't make any sense. Impeachment might make him sympathetic. That's the story. And when you look at it through that political lens, don't do it. Oh, I don't like the dude. And I think he's shady. But if I'm going to say it about Mayorkas, I would also say it about Biden. Impeachment is a political tool. The impeachment of Mayorkas? Absolutely, and twice on Sunday. That trial begins today. I'll bring it to you if and when I can. I'm Tony Katz. Mike Johnson is making moves. And you might see this motion to vacate happen. I'll get to that in a little bit. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Just a bit of, I guess you'd call it a touch point. Something we can all just rationally agree on two things. First, an AI beauty contest is super weird. Super, super weird. And there is right now a beauty pageant for AI women. It's called Miss AI, and there will be a $20,000 prize. That's creepy as can be.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
We're talking about a beauty pageant for women who don't actually exist. I don't know, maybe it's men. They're not real. They're designs. You put in an input and out comes an output, and none of it is real. I have seriously considered creating an OnlyFans page of nothing but these AI characters. And you know that's already happening. What, people work for a living these days? No. OnlyFans rules the day. That's it. It's crazy. And there are these AI creations. And they're wildly popular. Wildly surreal. But they're going to do this thing. They're going to do this, what you would call it? This beauty pageant. How does anything become distinguishable anymore? There's a whole, I have this argument with my oldest all the time, because they're like, it's never going to come to this. Because people could tell the difference between the artificial and the real. And you see this in Hollywood. I mean, part of the reason the whole strike took place is that Hollywood is very concerned about the AI. and very concerned about their people not getting paid, because if you can use AI to make a script and you can use AI to generate the character, the physical character, what does that even matter? You don't need people. What do you need them for? You don't even have to use them to come up with the ideas. Just put in three things to name your AI engine, and boom. Now you got a script idea. So it has them very bothered. And so there's real issues with this in Hollywood. My oldest is convinced that this will never, ever come to be because people can tell the difference. They know that there's just no way, absolutely no way at all that AI can come up with anything that people really will want to watch that understands the nuances of humanity and the human experience. To which I look at my oldest and I smile and I say, "Aw, they will not appreciate what I have just said at all." I don't believe that to be true. I believe that people will buy in to they'll buy into the AI all day long. And I'm here to tell you, they're going to buy into the imagery. They're going to 1,000% buy into the imagery, if you know what I mean, and I think that you do. But I wanted to, you know, as I said, I want some base points, some touch points that we can all get to and agree to. You know, because, I often discuss the fact the world is crazy, but we don't have to be. Let's talk about something that isn't crazy. The science is not settled. I don't care what Ocasio-Cortez says or Al Gore or these Green Movement freak show people. It doesn't matter. The science is not settled on anything. We believe that the Earth revolves around the sun.
The big yellow one's the sun.
That's it. That is it. The Earth revolves around the sun.
My God, the sun.
What is it, Simon?
A large fiery ball at the center of our solar system, but that's not important now.
And of course, before that, they thought the sun revolved around the Earth. So we believe that the Earth revolves around the sun, and we have no reason not to think otherwise. We think we've pretty much proven this. But it is possible that the orbit is held by something else. Everything is possible. So you have this group of astronomers that have gathered, and they're having a conference to discuss the idea that they were very, very wrong about the universe. Some people won't admit that they took the last cookie from the cookie jar. And these people are having a discussion about whether or not they're right about the idea that the universe is expanding at a constant rate. No science is settled. You have to be 6 feet apart in order to survive COVID. Not settled science. You're not allowed to say goodbye to your wife of 60 years because the nursing home won't let you be next to her or because of COVID. That's not settled science. That's insane talk. Turns out maybe Dr. Fauci isn't science and didn't have all the answers. Look at what they're gathering to do. They don't think themselves so great and so mighty and so powerful and so important that everything they say must be factual. They're going to check. They're going to double check. They're going to recheck because it's possible that they are wrong. I appreciate such a thing. I really do. I don't know what they're going to find. I do not know what they're going to find. I just do know, the only thing I do know is that whatever it is, it's going to freak me out, and I'm not necessarily going to understand it, but I'm going to pretend like I understand it, and then bourbon. This is Tony Katz today. Back at it. Congressional hearing about anti-Semitism on college campuses, and I think she found her thing, because they've got the president of Columbia University. You want to talk about a bigoted place? You send your kid to Columbia. Gosh, I didn't know people could hate their kids so much. I mean, they just had this massive, I shouldn't say massive, they just had this big event there while the president is testifying. Columbia should divest from Israel, and you understand none of this is about Israel, right? Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? Find everything I do at TonyKatz.com, on X at Tony Katz. You can follow me there. Leave a note, feel free, or call in 833-468-8669. This isn't about Israel. This is about tearing down society as a whole. Stefanik asking the questions.
So you said in front of Congress under oath that
I am not sure
he was removed. Well, I'll tell you what, he's still listed on chair. Let me ask the Board of Trustees, is that acceptable that he's chair of this committee? Should he be removed today?
Talking about a professor who has made these really bigoted comments about Israel, and the president, President Shafik, that is her name, saying that he's no longer chairing an academic review committee. Elise Stefanik takes a look on the Google box and finds that he's still listed. So now she's asking, hey, you okay with all this?
Let me ask the Board of Trustees, is that acceptable that he's chair of this committee? Should he be removed today? Ms. Shipman.
Congresswoman, you've put your finger on one of the hardest issues we, as board chairs, face right now. I think you can see our systems from the videos you played, everything you're talking about, our systems of rules and enforcement
are broken.
They're broken. We have worked tirelessly
to attempt
to...
My question to you, Ms. Shipman, and I'm the one asking the questions here as a United States member of Congress, is do you believe that he should be removed as chair? Because currently he's listed as chair on Columbia University's website.
Now, I want to hear the answer, but can I just state how much I despise that commentary from Congress? My job is to ask the questions. I'm a member of Congress. You work for me, and that includes you, Representative Stefanik. Don't ever forget that. I don't need to be here. Kiss off. You're going to do whatever it is you do, no matter what. You just want to rake me over the coals for so you can get some airtime? I answer you how I choose. That would be me. At any time, at all times. They work for me. I don't work for you. That's not the system. I just happen to despise that type of talk, and she shouldn't do it. But I do want the answer to the question, which she is more than entitled to ask.
He should be removed as chair, because currently he's listed as chair on Columbia University's website.
I don't believe any professor at Columbia should say anything like what our professors have to be held to a higher standard than our students. And I can tell you that,
but
you can't
say at this that this hearing that he should be removed as chair,
personally,
even though he violates university rules.
I do not want him as chair, and we are looking at the issue of faculty and
Mr.
what
Greenwald,
we expect
do you
from
think
our faculty
he should be removed as chair?
His comments are abhorrent, and I believe that one of the steps that we could take in terms of discipline is to remove them from that leadership position.
Thank you for that direct answer. And just to let you know, Mr. Abdu is not grading papers right now. He's on campus at the unsanctioned anti-Israel, anti-Semitic event that is being supported by pro-Hamas activists on campus.
I like Elise Stefanik. I mean, that is as direct and as clear as one gets. They cannot bring themselves in so many cases just to say, here is what's right and here's what's wrong. And they can't bring themselves to say, we are no longer afraid of our students. Let them go elsewhere. Let them go elsewhere. The university should be saying to the student, you know nothing. That's why you came here. We're going to teach you things. That's what we do. But if you think you know more than us, go. Goodbye. See you later. We don't blanking need you. That should be the way universities act. That is very much in line with the University of Chicago letter. But that's not the big story right now. The big story is that Speaker Mike Johnson is making moves. He is unworried, unconcerned with whether or not he gets removed as Speaker. And as Jackie Heinrich pointed out, Speaker Johnson is indeed going to bring to the floor all of the aid packages, one for Israel, one for Taiwan, one for China, and one on the southern border. He is going to bring them to vote. Speaker Johnson saying, and this through the reporting of Jackie Heinrich over at Fox News, after significant member feedback and discussion, the House Rules Committee will be posting soon today the text of the three bills that will fund America's national security interests and allies in Israel, the Indo-Pacific, and Ukraine, including a loan structure for aid and enhanced strategy and accountability. Oh, you know, that is a political hot button. The political left does not believe that anything should be a loan. Why should anybody have to pay us back? How ridiculous. Just give. Well, you can't just give. Look, I'm as supportive of Israel as anybody you know. There's only so much you can give. You understand, I believe that to my soul. I don't question whether I'm an American, although I'm sure plenty of people want to question my loyalty. There are expressions for that. There is, of course, the ever popular Southern and somewhat Midwest expression, bless your heart. And then there is the Yiddish expression, which I will not now bring definition to or interpretation because it might get me thrown off the air. But America's security comes first. Put on your own mask when the plane it depressurizes before assisting the person next to you. That's exactly right. Southern border needs to be taken care of. Speaker Johnson says these will be brought to the floor under a structured rule that will allow for an amendment process alongside a fourth bill that includes the Repo Act, TikTok bill, sanctions, and other measures to confront Russia, China, and Iran. Johnson continues, the Rules Committee will also be posting text on a border security bill that includes the core components of H.R. 2 under a separate rule that will allow for amendments. Now, H.R. 2 was passed by the House of Representatives, I think it was a year ago. Someone checked with Congressman Byron Donalds. It was a year ago? The House sent to Joe Biden, here you go. Here it is. That was done under Speaker McCarthy. And everybody acts like it didn't happen. The only thing that matters is what the Senate put forward because it was bipartisan. Doesn't make it good. The text of the first three bills will be posted shortly, while the fourth bill under the same rule will be posted later today. The border security bill will also be posted later today. He continues, by posting text of these bills as soon as they are completed, we will ensure time for a robust amendment process. We expect the vote on final passage on these bills to be on Saturday evening. So he's honoring the 72-hour rule. He wants, read it, go over it, check it out. He continues with, thank you all for your feedback and support. I value every member of this conference and look forward to continuing our work together. That was a message to, you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene and you've got Congressman Thomas Massey. And that argument was, I ain't going no place. And the two of you can kiss my very Christian Louisiana butt. That's what he said. As clear as day, I am going absolutely nowhere. This is where I work. This is where I'm at. I'm not leaving. I'm not even going to blame the dude. doesn't have to leave. He might have to go. You never know. They might push him out. They might engage a motion to vacate. It's absolutely possible. But he's saying, I'm sticking around. Now, he has said that he's not going to resign. And, of course, it has been brought up by Thomas Massey that he should resign and we should pick a new speaker before he resigns so we're never without a speaker. Because he wants to avoid the madness, right? He doesn't want that in the way. Well, it's going to be in the way. Thomas Massey is not going to get his way on this, and what he wants is to have his cake and eat it too, and that dog won't hunt. He cannot have everything that he wants. But Mike Johnson said something very interesting, and I think it was a great mistake. He was discussing the idea that, and it was through a post on social media from Newt Gingrich. Right, first he's talking about the fact that he's really a wartime speaker. He says, I regard myself as a wartime speaker. And that's a weird thing to say about oneself. It is a weird thing to say about yourself, I'm a wartime speaker. It is even stranger to say this. That somehow, shockingly, you're comparable to the Civil War.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment that we're in right now. He said, arguably, maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
Yeah, that's not going to work, Speaker Johnson. I believe the response from Congressman Thomas Massey was, get a grip. I think that was the response. You can't do that. You cannot say, hey, look, these are tough times and I'm really the strongest in all the land. You don't buy into your own press. If the job's too tough for you, leave. Don't tell people how tough your job is. Do the job. Do you understand the difference, right? Don't tell people how tough the job is. Do the job. And I don't know why I would have to explain this to the speaker. But certainly, when asked about the resignation, he was clear as day.
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs. It is not helpful to the cause. It is not helpful to the country. It does not help the House Republicans advance our agenda, which is in the best interest of the American people here, a secure border, sound governance, and it's not helpful to the unity that we have in the body. Look, we have a very important mission here. Our mission is very clear. The reason most of us, I can speak for the House Republicans, the reason every House Republican ran for Congress is that because they wanted to come here and help to save this beleaguered republic of ours. We want to save the country.
God bless America. The man was 4 seconds away from waving a flag. So he's not resigning and he's moving forward. Now, It's a question of how do Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie respond? I will say it again as clear as day. I think removing the speaker is an absolutely miserable idea. But they're Republicans, and they are great at absolutely miserable ideas. I'm Tony Katz. The mayor of Denver leading that city into absolute disaster. A $45 million fund to deal with all of the illegal immigrants coming into Denver. And they're going to get it by making an $8 million budget cut from the police department. No, why? I'm not making this up. Why would you think that? Why would you think that I would ever make anything like that up? I mean, my gosh, what's wrong with you? Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. This $45 million is in addition to $44 million that they've been able to secure through a program, I think, that comes from the feds. But to get this extra one done and make sure that they're welcoming. Denver has finally has a sustainable plan for treating our newcomers with dignity while avoiding the worst cut to city services. How many more ways do you have to see that our immigration policy does not work? How many more ways do you have to be shown? What pain do these people have to be put in before they realize, hey, this is a really bad idea? $8 million you were able to pull from police? Well, that's $8 million you didn't actually need. Can we have it back? Because I can spend that money on my kid. You're going to give it to somebody else's kid who came here through an illegal entry? That is not treating people with dignity. Certainly not treating the taxpayer with dignity. Denver. I think they smoked a little too much. This is Tony Katz today.